Very early on in this whole thing, you had mentioned that you wanted to talk a little bit about Fusebox and how it compares to some other methodologies. And you mentioned in particular XP, Extreme yeah. Programming. Now, you know, this XP gets an awful lot of buzz and press. I think maybe a little bit less now than maybe 6 months ago.
Sure.
But so let's talk a little bit about Fusebox versus other ways of doing things.
Gotcha.
First of all, there's your favorite methodology and mine, the no methodology methodology.
The we don't need no stinking methodology.
Right. Or the as one developer who didn't last very long in my employ stated in his interview, I have my own methodology.
Ah, of course.
Yes.
Of course. Yes. You run into these different methodologies, which are really and truly have something in common, which is that all it reveals is that the person doesn't have a methodology, doesn't want to have a methodology, doesn't believe that software is an engineering discipline. They just want to have fun, be creative, however they put it.
And they might have a file naming convention.
There you go. There's their methodology.
Right.
It's a file naming convention. Right. At one point during the dot-com bubble, you know, I was approached by a very well-known outfit who wanted me to come and head up their development efforts. And I remember talking to their CTO for about an hour and a half on the phone. And at one point we got into I asked him, what methodology do you guys use? Or do you have one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he said, you know what we do, Hal? We believe in hiring the best developers and just getting out of their way. And at first, you know, I thought, what an enlightened idea.
That's so egalitarian. It's progressive. It's yes, it's okay.
And then I got off the phone and I thought about this. I thought, no, wait a minute.
That's disastrous.
If something screws up, what does that mean? It must mean that the developers weren't the best. You know, you essentially painted an X on the developer and shifted all the blame to the developer. Then I started thinking, like, what if, like, the FAA did this? We only believe we hire the best pilots and get out of their way. I'm going to get out of their way, too. You know, you can't, that's not a methodology. And having a methodology, if you're a single coder by yourself, you know, and a lot of times I do jobs just by myself, I still go through the whole flip thing. And,
absolutely.
But if you said, okay, well, I just want to be free, I want to be creative. Okay, fine, you've got one person, you can do whatever you want. The minute you introduce other people into the process, that is a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So that's primarily what we really run into. It's the difference between a real methodology and no methodology. But there are other methodologies, and they go under the name Agile, or as I like to poke fun at them, Fragile. And one of the most popular is called Extreme Programming.
Right.
Now, extreme programming is a methodology. It's part methodology, part best practices, part fuzzy-headed new age thinking. Not that I'm opinionated, you understand.
Now, I haven't delved too deeply into the whole XP mythos, but you know, from what I can tell, it's really sort of a conglomeration of a couple of ideas, one of which is pair programming, and the other is sort of outcome-based or test-based scenarios where, you know, you determine what you're going to code by creating a test case, and then you write some code, and if it passes the test, it's done.
Correct. Now, those are two practices that I happen to be wholeheartedly in favor of.
Right. Okay.
I'm a big fan of pair programming,
mm-hmm.
and a big, big fan of test-driven development.
So what's the problem with XP?
The problem with XP is the quasi-new age, fuzzy-headed thinking part of it, which says we can't predict the future, and therefore we won't try to. And what we're going to do is we're going to have 2 week cycles where we're going to ask the clients. We're going to have an on-site client who's perpetually available, and we're going to ask them to write user stories. And these user stories are going to be little, kind of what we would call use cases.
Right.
And we're going to ask the clients, which of these are most important to you? and we're going to pick the ones that they'll rank them, and we'll pick the ones we can get done in a 2-week time frame.
Okay.
And we're going to create those.
Create them as in write the code.
Write the code.
Full, okay,
write
full
the
application.
Code. No, the XP has this phobia about what they call big design up front, which means any design. You start writing code, and you let the code... I was talking with two very well-known Java gurus last week, and they talked about the code would emerge. And I went like, you know,
is this like a million monkeys and typewriters and Shakespeare?
It's almost like that, honestly.
That's scary. But this is what we all did when we first learned our first programming language, though. It's sit down and write code.
Rewrite code. No, we don't rewrite it. We refactor it. See, if you give it a cool sounding name,
right,
then it's okay. But I told this Java guru we were talking. And I said, you know, there's an old word for that sort of emergent behavior kind of thing. He said, what's that? I said, bugs. And he laughed. Here? He goes like, oh, that's a good point. The idea that, I've got to give the XP folks credit for one thing. What they are trying to do is stem the hemorrhaging that occurs in projects when you have no methodology at all, which is what the vast majority of projects are like. And the developers are downstream. And so the developers get dumped on, and they're told to work overtime, and they're stressed out. And this provides a way to staunch the bleeding, because you can't hold, at every point, you've got a 2-week cycle, and the client has to constantly say, yes, that's what I want, yes, that's what I want.
But that's so artificial. It's, you know, you arbitrarily create a 2-week time frame and say, We're going to force our efforts to revolve around those things that we can fit into a 2-week time frame. What if we have something that's not going to fit the 2-week time frame?
Then you don't slip the time frame, you slip the function.
But that function will never be done.
No, it'll be done. If that's the most important to the client, then it gets done in the next 2-week time frame.
But what if it can't be done in 2 weeks at all?
Then we'll have to break it into smaller pieces that we can get done in 2 weeks.
I see.
Now, imagine that you're building a house, and the requirement is, we won't have an architect. That's big design up front.
Right.
What we'll have instead is a perpetually available client. And so you say, I say, what's the most important thing to you? And you talk among yourselves and you say, I guess a bedroom. Okay, what's the simplest thing I could possibly do to build a bedroom? That's one of the virtues of do the simplest thing that will possibly work. So, for an XP.
Mm-hmm.
So we build a bedroom. And then I say, is this the bedroom you want? Yeah, that's great. And then I ask them for the next 2-week time frame. What's the next most important thing? I guess a kitchen. So I start building the kitchen. And they go, well, we actually want the bedroom upstairs. Ah, okay. Well, then I'm going to refactor. I'm now going to move that bedroom upstairs. You can see what an absurd idea this would be. In what other field of human endeavor do we have any success with this insane, in my opinion, kind of methodology?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything, quite honestly.
Well, it seems to me it's just giving pretty formal labels to the no methodology methodology.
That's precisely what it does. But it gets thrown in with, you get enough cool sounding phrases, YAGNI, YAGNI, you ain't gonna need it. And so that becomes the justification for not thinking ahead, for not planning, is that you aren't gonna need it. And if you, and it's sort of like the old scripture, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the task set before you. Well, you know, living in the moment is a wonderful thing, but human endeavors require planning. And it's the job of the architect to plan the stuff out. And it's what Alan Cooper, mm-hmm, the father of visual basic and
right,
interaction design, had a very interesting discussion, which is on the web, with Kent Beck, who's the father of XP. And Cooper said, and I think he summed it up, he said, what you're doing is abdicating your responsibility.
Wow, that's pretty strong. Well, now, but my next question then is, how many clients have you had that could give you someone committed to the project and available all the time?
None.
For whatever duration.
Even when I'm my own client, I can't do that.
Right.
I've got other stuff I'm doing.
Right.
It's. But the great appeal that it has to developers is that it, like you said, it gives a formal name. It gives the semblance of a methodology and confirms them in their own prejudices and their own biases.
But how did
start writing code?
How could this ever have developed as a recommended methodology when, I mean, you've never had a client that could supply a person like that. I've never had a client that could supply. The only scenario I can imagine is an in-house IT shop.
Which is what the only way it works. By the way, you can't give people a firm bid on anything, of course.
Right.
Right? And so it's made for in-house IT shops. But even there, it doesn't work. Because you don't have clients that are perpetually available.
They have jobs.
And exactly right. The poster child for XP was the Chrysler compensation system, sometimes called the C3 system. And if you explore any of the XP literature, you hear all about the C3 project and how it was XP and Kent Beck and Ron Jeffries and all the XP gurus were involved in this. And this is where they developed XP. Mm-hmm. What you have to dig a little bit to discover is that the project was abandoned. So the poster child.
That's rather an indictment.
The only thing that I can tell you is how some extremely smart people could go along with this is to show you how radical is the difference between techies and business folks and how they think. Now, if people have had, there are some wonderful things about XP. Like I said, the pair programming, test-driven mm-hmm. development.
Right.
There's some other aspects to it. These aren't really XP, these are just best practices.
Right, those aren't methodologies. Those are, as you say, practices.
But the idea of abdicating a responsibility is simply unworkable. Now, we're in a situation where outsourcing is a great threat to programmers.
Absolutely.
If you can convince your manager to adopt XP, you'll be free.
Your job for life.
That's exactly right. But that's a pretty tough sell.
And you better like that company a lot.
That's right. It's good for you, the programmer, because it protects your job, but it doesn't produce successes. And ultimately, I believe what's going to keep American or whoever, whatever country you're talking about, programmers employed, is the ability to produce successful jobs. Mm-hmm. And this requires, going back to that idea of the shepherd, somebody who's going to lead these people to...
Well, and... If you're involved in XP, it seems to me there's nothing but the programmer. There's no architect, so programmers cannot aim at becoming skilled architects, and cannot then aim at becoming project managers. There's no path for advancement.
There's no you have coaches, but the coaches are really just there to make sure that everybody's following the XP anarchy.
Will all XP programmers be XP programmers 30 years down the road on their career path? I mean, is that...
I think what really and truly happens is that you either become an XP evangelist or you find a methodology that works.
Wow.
It's, when I as I say, I talked with these two Java gurus, very well known in the XP world. I'll hide their names to protect their guilt. And what was just astonishing to me was the idea that they said, what could possibly help to have code? If you're going to show the client something, how would they know if there was code behind that or not? And they said, well, you can only find out stuff through code. I went, no, that's simply not true.
Oh, absolutely.
You can show them a simulation mm-hmm. that looks identical, but it's going to cost 4% of what it would write, and then even if you wrote it in code, you're going to have to refactor it, that is to say rewrite it, mm-hmm. because you don't have any design. They really is extreme. They go like, Don't worry about a database until you know that you're going to need it. Well, can you write it in a flat file? Do the simplest thing that could possibly work. I don't know. This, to me, is not... Human beings were given a brain for a reason.
Absolutely.
And that was to use it. Now, I the problem with XP is that it has gotten a tremendous amount of buzz, and unfortunately, like a lot of buzzwords, it shuts off people's brains. So they don't think about it. They just go like, oh,
don't examine it.
Yagni, you know, no big design up front, and all these cute little sayings. And then if you challenge them, they'll give you this like, well, it's like Zen. And I was like, what does that mean? That it's like Zen? And have we determined that Zen is somehow the best way to produce software?
I think that's a very telling comparison, though, because one of the hallmarks of Zen is it's the journey that's important, not the objective.
There you go.
So you're never going to arrive at a destination with XP.
That's why I said, you know, there's a problem when you start using the language of faith.
Philosophy.
To describe a technical process. There's a reason. If we had proof, if we knew what we were doing, then we don't have to rely on these sort of vague, new agey terms.
And they accuse us fuse boxers of being evangelistic.
It's just beyond me. Wow. So.
Well, we could, I'm sure, spend hours and hours discussing it, but and we probably will at some point in the future do some more of these sorts of sessions. But I think probably for now we've put in more than enough time that we can probably pack on a CD or maybe even two. So we'll have to see how it comes out.
Yeah, and hopefully not bore our listeners to death.
Everybody to tears. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to start inserting, you know, musical hits.
There you go.
Not of our recording.
I could tell little jokes.
Very little
speaking
ones.
About Zen.
Yes.
You know, like the Zen master who said to the hot dog vendor, make me one with everything.
And on that note, I think we'll call it quits.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Hal.